learn how to build your faith on God's Word, and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Is with you. God is for you. And God is in you. Please look at the next person to the other side. Tell them God is with you. God is for you. And God is in you. Okay, maybe the person is not telling you well, so tell yourself. Let me put your hand on your chest, everybody. Say, God is with me. God is for me. And God is in me. I want us to do it one more time. This time, say it with confidence. Say, God is with me. God is for me. And God is in me. That looks like a very simple statement, but it has deep meaning. You see, in the Old Testament times, they had God with them. And the funny thing was that they didn't always have God with them 24 hours. They usually came to visit with God and go back. Then maybe when they wanted to go for a battle or something, they would ask for God to come and help them. But in the New Testament, God is with us. Jesus Christ said, "Lo, I'm with you always." God is with us, but it doesn't stop there. God is for us. He said, if God be for you, he said what? Who can be against you? Hallelujah. Then it doesn't stop there. He also now said, greater is he that is what? In you than he that is where? In the world. So God is with you, God is for you, and God is in you. And now, you see, that affects everything. The day you get an understanding and a true revelation that God is with me, God is for me, and God is in me, God is not against me, God is not trying to separate himself from me, God is not angry with me. The day you get that understanding that God is with you and for you and in you, it will change how you see everything in life. It will change the size of challenges you tackle. Hallelujah. And you see, one of the things that religion or Satan tries to do is to separate us from God. That's his main aim. He tries to tell us that we don't qualify to be close to God. And that's exactly what Jesus came to tell us, that we are now one with God. That we are one spirit with God. That we are joined with God. Hallelujah. Let's start to read some scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2. I laid the foundation in the first service. I'm going to continue in this service. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8. Are we there? I can't hear you. Are you there? Please, I need you to either look at the Bible or look at the screen, but I need to see these things, these scriptures for yourself. The reading is a bit long, so I need to follow. It says, for by what? I can't hear you. For by what? Grace. For by grace are ye what? Saved. The word grace means unmerited favor, at least in this part of scripture. There are one or two different meanings of the word grace in the Bible, but this one here is talking about unmerited or undeserved favor. This is important to where I'm going, so you must get this. For by grace are we what? Saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. Very important. This says not of yourselves. That means you can never qualify for it. Is somebody here? Because the devil is constantly telling people you have to qualify. You have to do something to qualify to get saved. And God is telling us here that it's by grace, it's by unmerited favor that we got qualified. He said, not of ourselves. Not of yourselves. He said, it is what? I can't hear you. Are you reading with me? It is what? The gift of God. Next verse. He said, not of what? Works. It's not of your works, lest anyone should boast. If you ever have reason to boast about your salvation in terms of what you did to qualify for it, then you don't understand it. See the next thing. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship and all that, created and ordained of the good works. Please go to verse 11. He said, wherefore remember that, now look at this, that ye in time past, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are the uncircumcision by which is called, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Go to verse 12. He says, that at that time ye were what? I can't hear you. You were what? Without Christ, being what? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and what? Strangers. These words are important. Aliens and strangers. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having what? No hope. There was no hope for us to ever be saved, or for us to ever be connected to God. Having no hope, and without God in the world. See next verse. He said, but what? I can't hear you. But what? But now! We are no more strangers. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were what? We were far from God. In those days, they used to try to seek God. In those days, they entered God's presence with thanksgiving and with praise. They entered his presence. Now we don't enter his presence. Now we carry his presence. You need to understand this is important. Because many people think they have to do something before they enter. In fact, there are people here, I know you're watching me right now, there are people that believe that I have to confess all my sins before I enter his presence. God is in you. This will help you. Because the moment you keep thinking, I have to do something to connect with God, that means you are saying you don't know you are already connected with God. You are connected. You are. He's in you, you are in him. Is somebody getting this? Because I've seen people say, oh, I was praying, or I was worshiping at home, it just looked as if the prayer was hitting the ceiling and coming back. Why is he hitting the ceiling? Who is up in the ceiling? God is not up in the ceiling alone. He's inside you. Why are you trying for a prayer to hit the ceiling, to go up? We don't enter God's presence. We carry God's presence. You are God's presence. He said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Is somebody here? Okay? He said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are done what? I made near. By what? Not of your works. So your works can never make you close to God. It is the blood that gave you access to God. It's because of the blood of Jesus that you now have access. The blood is what opened the door for you and God to become one. Not your works. Your works can never be good enough for God. You need to know that. But the blood can be. Okay, next verse. For he is what? Our peace. Wow, that statement is so powerful. It looks simple, but it's powerful. They say Jesus is our peace. What they mean is that Jesus is the peace between us and God. Before this time, we were separated from God. We were sinners. God was holy. God's eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. Then Jesus came in the middle. They say he is our peace. Oh, are you getting this? He is our peace with God. Jesus is our peace with God. Jesus is the advocate or the mediator or the one standing between us and God. So you know what that means? From the day you become born again, God no longer sees you. He sees Jesus. This is important. That's why the Bible says we are joint heirs. From the day you become born again, that's why we use the term, we now become in Christ. When you are in Christ, that means you don't exist on your own. You are inside Christ. And Christ too is inside you. So what that means, whenever you talk to God, God is not relating with you as Kingsley or as John or as Jerome or as Jeremiah or as Linda. God is relating with you as Jesus. That's why they call us the body. What they call Christians? The body of Christ. God sees Christ. He can't see you. He sees Christ. That's why when we pray in what name? What does it mean? Because some people don't understand. We just pray, we use it like charm. If you understand this, you use will be different for you. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are saying, I'm not the one asking. You know why? If you pray in your name, you don't have any right to get it. But when you pray, you say, I'm not the one asking, no. It's Jesus that is asking. And Jesus, God can't reject Jesus, anything he asks. Is somebody getting this? So whenever you pray, you are not coming on your name. If you were that important, you could pray with your name. You could say, ah, Lord, this William's talking to you, oh God. You know William's now? That boy, I live in... No! Whenever you pray, you must end it one way. You will say, in what? In Jesus' name. I'm not the one talking, no? Because he doesn't know you, naturally speaking. But when you add Jesus, he knows Jesus. And you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. So we are no more far from God. Jesus is our peace. See the next verse. For he is our peace, who had made both to become what? One. And had broken down what? The middle wall of partition. Nothing is separating you from God now. And the devil is crazy about it. And he keeps bringing up people to try to put a stumbling block between you and God. He's bringing up people to tell you things that sound like a Bible doctrine, but it's not a Bible doctrine, that try to tell you that you are separated from God. Nothing is separating you and God. If you're a born-again Christian, you are joined with God. You are one with God. He is in you and you are in him. Stop trying to... Some people even fast. They fast. You know, some of these things some people say and do, it annoys me, so I know it must be annoying God. You can't fast to make God do something he wasn't going to do for you. You can only fast to position yourself. When you fast, you are putting down your flesh so that your spirit can be agile to what God is saying and doing. We are not fasting to cajole God to have mercy on you. You are not, you see, I mean, you need to stop comparing your natural love with God's love. They are not the same. Stop thinking in a natural way. When you are trying to understand God, God is a spirit. God's love is not a conditional love. God is not, if you do good, I give you good. If you do bad, I give you bad. That's natural love. That's not God's love. God's love, if you do good, I give you good. If you do bad, I still give you good. Because I'm the Lord, I change not. I won't change for you. It's the same God that said, if they slap you, turn the next cheek. He's saying, I'm not going to retaliate. He is our peace. There's a mediator between us now. He's not going to retaliate. When two people are quarreling, if you want to separate them, what's the best to separate them? Enter the middle. Enter the middle means you can chop blow from any side. But it means that they cannot access each other anymore to harm themselves. When they say just our peace and has removed the middle, he's now in the middle. So even when you do something bad, God is not going to judge you as a Christian. I'm talking about born again. If you're not a believer, you're already judged. Nobody's judging you. You are doomed until you get saved. You need to understand that they're different. Okay, I'll get to that as we go on. So if you're a believer, even when you make mistakes, God is not judging you or seeing you based on those mistakes you are making. He's seeing you through the eyes of Jesus. He's seen the blood stand between you and Jesus. I mean, stand between you and him. He said the middle wall, he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Nothing is standing in our way anymore between us and God. See the next verse. Say, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments in the ordinances, for to make in himself one new man, making peace. Okay? Next verse. He said, and that he might do what? Reconcile both unto God. In what? In one body. You and Christ are together. One. Now connected to God. Having slain the enmity thereby. Next verse. He says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. Next verse. He said, for through him we both have what? Access. We have access now by one spirit unto the Father. Next verse. He says, now therefore you are what? No more strangers. This is important. I'm going to use this. I'm going to explain these strangers later on. So please follow it. Say, you are no more strangers, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints. And of the household of God. You now belong to a household. The household is not talking about the physical church. It means you are now a part of God's family. This is important. It's part of where I'm going. Next verse. He said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, being the chief cornerstone, 22, 21. He says, in whom all the building fully framed together grows in the holy temple of the Lord. Verse 22 now is where I'm going to end. He said, in whom ye also are builded together for what? Do you see this? Can you see this? They said, you are built together for what? An habitation of God through what? The Spirit. Guess where God lives now? He said, I will live in them. I will walk in them. They will be my people. I will be their God. God is not somebody that is far. You are shouting. That's why you can only shout in prayer if that's what helps you pray. You're not shouting because God can't hear. Oh God! You're not clever. You don't hear me. Oh God! He's not far from you. You are no more far. You are no more a stranger. Somebody catching this. There is no wall of partition. In fact, the Bible said when Jesus died, the wall that was separating the holies of holies from the people was torn from top to bottom. It's now open. You carry God's presence. God is with you. God is for you. And God is in you. Hallelujah. Remember the word strangers, aliens, and belonging to a household. There are many people that, in fact, the thing raining now is, let me read one more verse. See what is raining now. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19. Just show it on the screen. If you can turn your Bible fast, please turn there. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 15. If I were you, I would get the message of the first service. It was a build up to this one, so that I won't have to go back there. So please get this message of the first service to help you. Are we there now? Please look on the screen, or if you can find it quickly, you can find it. He said, therefore, this is important. If any man be what? See this. Say, we are in Christ. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. God doesn't see you as Kingsley or as John anymore. If any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Say, all things are what? Passed away. He said, behold, what? All things are become new. Next verse. He said, and all things are of God, who has done what? Reconciled us to who? To himself. By who? By Jesus Christ. And had given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry and the message God has given us is the message of come back to God. There's no need to run again. When you were young, if you did something bad, as in you did something really bad, not be say you break tumbler, as in maybe you bash your papa car, something really bad. Maybe not, you know your father's car that he parks in the garage that he drives only Christmas day, you know that kind of car? You bash it. If you have any sense, will you go home that day? You know some people are mumu, they go house. That you will run into the bush. And you are not going home that day. Why? Because you have offended, you are running. What they are saying is that God is now reconciled. Say, come back. Whatever you have done have been forgiven. Come back. We are far off. We were separated from God before. But now he said, come. And so they say the message we have is a message of reconciliation, telling everybody that you don't have to run from God anymore. You don't have to be separated from God anymore. You and him can become one now. No need to run. No need to run. Say, oh boy, you know nothing I do. Say, it doesn't matter what you have done. Come back. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Look at the next verse. He said, to wit, that God was in Christ. See it? Reconciling what? The world unto himself. Now, this is important. Next line. He said, not what? Imputing what? Their trespasses unto them. The word imputing is an accounting term. Most of you know what I'm talking about. You're imputing, you're charging the thing to a certain account. They're saying that they are not counting your sins anymore. Because for you to tell me to come back, you have to guarantee that I won't be punished for the sins. That's exactly what they are saying. That you're not going to punish again. Come back. And they said they've given us the ministry of reconciliation. Unfortunately, when I hear a lot of people preach, especially when I was young in the Lord, those days in the bus, they don't preach the ministry of reconciliation. Most of them preach the ministry of condemnation. If you're here, and you are wearing lipstick, you will go to hell. If you're here and you have attachment, weave on. You are going to hell. If you're here, you are wearing mini skirt, trouser, jeans, and knickerbocker, you are going to hell. What is good news about that? What is reconciliation about that? The word gospel means good news. There's no good news in that. There's no reconciliation in that. And by the way, what's running now is video of somebody that said they went to people that went to heaven. You see, Christians can be so spiritually ignorant. It's annoying. It's annoying when people don't want to grow spiritually in the Word of God. You know why many, you see, people like the spectacular. They don't want to follow the Bible. They want somebody to judge. You know, it's the spirit of home video. You know, if you're watching a film, a movie abroad, or a movie produced abroad, if something gets missing in a house, or they've killed somebody and nobody knows who killed them, you know what people abroad are going to do, Abby? They're going to call forensic guys, they're going to call their police, you see them come with their uniform, with their badge hanging, they just come, I'm here now on the crime scene, you know, just crime scene, just get a blood test, you know, they'll just take, they'll use the fingerprint, and do that, they'll try and sketch the person, before you know, they'll find the person. In Nigeria, if something gets missing, or they kill someone, nobody knows. You know where they're going to go, Abby? Native doctor. We catch the thief, but we pass our own road. We like spectacular things, and that most times we miss God because God is very simple. And the only way God talks to us that you can verify, that you can be sure of, is through His word. You can't follow somebody's vision. Devil shows people vision. The Bible says Satan can appear as a spirit, as an angel of light. Some people self, it's not even Satan that appears to them, it's their mind. Because, of course, many things can make people dream. It's not every dream you have that, you know, some people even think God will lead you to dream. Dream is one of the, is one of the basest way God can lead you. You know why? Because many things can influence your dream. If you have malaria, you can dream. If you have not eaten, excessive hunger, you can dream. Sometimes if you eat too much too, excessive energy, you will dream. Then sometimes if you think about something too much throughout the day, there's likelihood that in the night you will what? You will dream. When you were young, if you watch horror movie, what happens in the night in your dream? You will see the same demon there. So that's why you can't use the spectacular to know what God is saying. You have to stay with the word of God, because that one cannot lie. You say heaven and earth shall pass away, but this word cannot break. When you get to heaven, you will tell God that God, my pastor said, no, you're going to have to show God the word. If anybody, anywhere in the world, no matter his spiritual rank, tells you any story or any experience that is not consistent with the Bible, with the written word of God, don't accept it, even if I'm the one saying it. If I tell you or teach you anything that is not in line, that I can't give you Bible chapter and verse, don't accept it. Then somebody asked me a good question. I said, Pastor, but even false teachers use the Bible. Good. That's why you must start growing the word of God. There's a message I have, a series I taught, Keys to Bible Interpretation. You to know how they interpret the Bible. If you know how to interpret the Bible, nobody can dazzle you, because some people can turn the same Bible upside down and you will say, yes, it's Bible. No. If you have some sense, you can read it for yourself. For instance, like I told you throughout this week, I was talking to different people that had the same experience. One of my mentees is a pastor from that church, but he's somebody I'm a mentor to. He called me that he wants to see me, so I came. He said, Pastor, that he was looking very terrified in his face. I said, what's wrong? He said, he watched this video of this person that went to heaven and went to hell. And that, hey, the person said, you know, another lady also chatted with me about it that yesterday too. That, you know, that they went to hell and that people wearing trousers, people wearing lipstick. The attachment is of the devil. I said, chapter and verse. Give me chapter and verse that makeup is a sin. I want it. He said, the woman said, I said, chapter and verse. The woman saw, I said, chapter and verse. I'm still waiting for chapter and verse now. Where the Bible says makeup will make somebody go to hell. Where the Bible said trouser will make somebody, where the Bible said miniskirt will make somebody go to hell. I'm not saying I support miniskirt. I'm not saying you must make up or not make up. I'm saying, show me in the Bible where it said you make you go to hell. I've not seen it. So you see these people, they say they went to heaven or they went to hell, and they saw many Christians there. And these Christians are people that maybe they were active in church, but they had long hair. So we move on. It's a sin. Show me in the Bible. No Bible. It's just somebody's encounter. Bible says, let all men be liars and let God be true. If you can't find it in the Bible, forget it. Anybody can claim any experience they want. Anybody can claim they saw anything they saw. Is somebody here? Stay with the Bible. The Bible cannot fail. The Bible is the truth. It's the only truth that cannot change. Stay with that one. Don't stay with somebody's experience. Jesus Christ said, man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The only foundation that can be broken is the foundation of the word of God. Hallelujah. So some of these people see, in fact, one of them those days said he went to hell or so, and he saw Pastor Bimbo Dukoya there. This is a good time for me to have the spirit of Patrick Obiagwa, or whatever that guy is that speaks big English. Because to say something that's a crackum, that's purely a higgy haga. I don't know how that guy does that. Crackum, crackum. I mean, and why did they? The person saw Pastor Bimbo, why? Maybe because she had lipstick, and she had a hair. I said, that's why somebody went to hell. That means you don't even know the God we are talking about. You think God is so petty that his hair do his checking? That's what you think. Even me, I'm too busy to be checking people's hair do. Then you are talking about the Almighty God that we serve, that created the heavens and the earth. His hair that is separating us from his love. Hair. He said the wall has been removed. There's nothing separating you from God. Let me explain. You see, the reason why people say this is their mind. Because they are judging God's love based on their own human love. So they are thinking, you know, if God sees your hair is not there, you make up, say you can't go. It's not your son that died. That's why you can say that rubbish. If you see you that killed your son, will you allow makeup stop you from saving the person you killed your son for? If you spend $250,000 buy a Ferrari, if it's scratched small, will you throw it away? But I see Christians tell me that nonsense every day. Because it's not your blood. Now that's why you can post that post. If it was you that killed your child, and the person now came, he had lipstick, you say, you won't go. Huh? You say, go. If you like, paint your whole face red. My bikini don't die. Nah, enter. You didn't pay anything. Above all, I've not seen. The moment we're wearing earring, that earring is a sin. Where are these things in the Bible? I tell them, show me chapter and verse. They've not been able to show me chapter and verse. They will never be able to show me chapter and verse. You know why? Because it's not in the Bible. Let me. Because I'm saying this because the devil is always trying to put a stumbling block to tell you, oh, your trouser is not long enough. No. You can't go. No. Your shirt is. No. Your blouse is too tight. Ooh. No. He's trying to tell you there's a stumbling block. There's a reason why you are not connected to God. Now, let me also balance this here. I'm not saying that you should dress in a way that can distract somebody. No. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that you have been given liberty, but don't let your liberty make your brother to stumble. It's there in the Bible. The Bible says you've been given liberty, but don't make your liberty an occasion for the flesh. It's there in the Bible. Half time we can show it. DJ can show it. There's one in Corinthians. There's one in I think Galatians or so. Galatians 5. So it's there. So I'm not saying because truly there are some ladies that the way they dress to church, it can disturb somebody's faith. True. Don't get me wrong. I know that as a pastor. In fact, there's some ladies that the way they dress to church, they even distract me as a pastor. I say, Genesis, Abraham, Moses. Because many people have told me, you know, maybe the brother is somebody that is just getting born again. He's struggling with lust and all the nakedness outside in the world. And he said, make I even come to church. May God help me. And he comes right in church. I say, lift up your hand. And the guy in front of him just stand up. Everything is showing. His salvation wearing as small remain before. So don't get me wrong. I understand that some people have taken the liberty, you know, to now be distracting other people in church or be making occasion. Let's see it now. 1 Corinthians 8:9. He said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become what? A stumbling block to them that are weak. Do you understand this? So this is Bible. If you tell me that your dress, so people's dressing can distract another person in church. Oh, I agree. That's in the Bible. I've seen this in the Bible. It's clearly in the Bible. There's no argument in that. But if you're telling me that dressing will make that person go to hell, that one is not in the Bible. I'm sorry. That's your opinion. In your mind, that person does not qualify. In your mind. I hope you're seeing the difference. Yes, your dressing can distract somebody. I agree. As a matter of fact, many ladies dress like that in churches. It's bad. Please improve your dressing. But what I'm against is you telling me that the person that wore trousers or because the dress is tight, the person you saw the person in hell. That's a lie from that hell you saw. It's a lie. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a difference. I've seen people that say, oh, I went to the hell. I saw people with earring there. I saw people that the attachment is the product of the devil. Really? Chapter and verse, where did they say it? That Satan produced attachment. Something that ordinary Chinese people are making.
You are calling Satan. Who is Satan?
What?
You are attributing too much power to Satan. That is the one that is making attachments. Really? It's even possible that there are some he makes to try and catch people. But what concerns you on that? You are light. We don't fear darkness. Darkness runs from light, not light runs from darkness. Why are you studying? And if you want to start running from everything, the people making the car you use, do you know the God they worship? Do you know what they speak over the car before they produce it? You don't know. The clothes you are wearing, do you know? The underwear you are wearing, do you know where they made it from? So if you want to run from everything, you run from everything. You run. So if you are afraid of attachment, okay, you don't use the attachment, but don't go about telling people that use attachments because you are angry that they're finer than you. Don't go about. It's beef most times. Don't go about telling them they won't go to heaven, that they will go to hell because of attachment. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There's nothing standing between us and God. Nobody goes to hell. Now, this is important. Nobody goes to hell because of sin. People can get angry at this kind of statements because in our mind, we want to qualify. Nobody, if sin is what takes people to hell, all of us here will continue this service one day in hell. All. Nobody go miss. Or we can do a test. If you're here and you have no sin, please stand so that we can stone you. You can stand. Jesus did that test very easily in I think it's the book of John, where a woman was caught in adultery. They said, "Want to stone a woman?" She just said, "It's very simple. We can stone a woman." He said, "Which of you here that have no sin should cast the first stone?" The first guy said, "Bro, when I start to the stone, I'm here to come. When I start, so they come. I'm peace. Start to stone, I'll come join after. Hold my own stone." The Bible said, all of them, all, dropped their stones one by one and left. So if it's sin that makes people go to hell, nobody will make heaven. I'm just going to tell you that. See, and I ask people, this is how I know people that are born again. Don't ask them, if you die now, will you go to heaven or hell? Most of them will say, you see, nobody knows. You're not saved yet. When you are, if I died now, I will go to heaven. So we say, Pastor, how do you know? Are you not perfect? No, I am not perfect. The blood of Jesus is perfect. It's perfect. It is the blood that qualifies you, not your works. If you remember all the scriptures we read today, he said we are saved by grace, not of yourselves, not of works. Let any man should boast. It's not your works. It's not your good works that qualifies you. It's the blood that qualifies you. It's the grace that qualifies you. And if you have that grace of God, and if you have received the work of that blood, then you are ready. It's not sin that makes you go to hell, because I don't know any human being that has not committed sin or is not committing one sin or the other. There are even so many sins that you're committing that you don't even know a sin yet. So if they want to even tell you that no sin boy should go, you won't go. When I lead people to Christ, I don't tell them confess your sins. I say confess your sin. There's only one sin you have if you're an unbeliever. The sin of not accepting Jesus Christ. You can't even confess all your sins. You want to confess? When I was not born again, you asked me to confess all my sin. We know we'll go that day. I was not committing sin. I was sin. So make I confess my sins. Because people leading people to Christ say, "Oh, yeah, confess your sin." No! When we say confess your sin, it's only, if you see me and I'm leading people to Christ, say sin. I don't say sins. There's only one sin you have committed if you're an unbeliever. The sin of not accepting the forgiveness. That's what listen. If you want to, you don't even know your sins. How can you confess your sins? Because you don't even know them. If you're an unbeliever, you are a rolling. You are sin in motion. Your thoughts are sin. Your words are sin. Your actions are sin. Everything. You know, hope you know in the Bible, some things you do are sin. Some things you don't do, self, are sin. You hope you know what? A lie, as far as God is concerned, is not only when you deceive people. If you tell somebody you're coming by 4 o'clock and you come by 4:10, that's a lie. Hope you know that. Some people don't know that. In the eyes of God, you have broken your word. That's why God said, don't swear. He said, let your yes be yes and let your nay be nay. He said, don't swear. If you say something, do it. So, if you tell somebody I'll see you by, you know in Nigeria, if you tell somebody I'll see you by 4, between 4 and 8, now see 4. Hope you know in Nigeria. If you say I'll go see you by 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, all is see 4. But as far as God is concerned, he says it's not a man that he should lie. Neither is it the son of man that he should. So, as far as God, if you say I'm coming 4 and you don't come 4, you have already lied. That's sin. Somebody says, okay, so pastor, okay, so now that I commit sin, if it's when I confess my sins that God forgives me. No. Why do I say that? If it's so, you know what that means? That means you won't do any work. If it's so, throughout the day, you know what you've been doing throughout the day? To have God's presence. Confess. Because some of us are committing the sin like Globacom, per second billing. You don't even know all your sins. That's what I'm telling you. Do you know doing anything too much is a sin? Eating too much is a sin. Hope you know. There are many times you eat it. You are full, oh. Don't lie. You don't fool. You don't even say again, but you want to chop one more round. That's greed. There are times you watch TV excessively. You should be sleeping or reading your Bible. You just watch more into night. It's sin. It's excessiveness. If I start listing your sins, you yourself go fear. Of course, you know evil thoughts is your sin. How many of you go a whole day without thinking one evil thought? It might be a hateful thought. I see the stupid boy. Boy, not do you anything. Maybe just bath up, pass you. She just a pass you. Waiting. See shirt. Waiting. And souls are perishing. See shirt with the wear. Waiting concern you. But it can be a hateful thought. And you know, just like I said, if you think about sleeping a woman in your heart, it's as good as you have slept with her. It's counted. All the idle words that you speak, all the times you have judged people that you didn't know the story, they just give you one gist. You don't even know the story. Say, I know that boy, now use that boy, now in do that thing. How you take no? The way in the worker. You have passed judgment on a case where you don't have the facts. That's a sin. I'm trying to tell you that you can't know your sins. So if God was waiting for you to confess all your sins before he walks with you, he won't be with you. He will go back to separate himself from you, the same thing he has sent his son to die for. Let me read some things to you. There's a place where people say, the Bible says you should not wear chain, you should not wear jewelry, you should not wear trouser. The Bible never says you should not wear trouser. Most times when people quote from is the Bible, where the Bible says a woman should not wear what pertains to a man. How that narrows down to trouser, I don't know. What is you to catch what is the spirit of that scripture? You can't pick it out. I'm going to show you some things in the Bible. You can't pick out some scriptures from the middle like that. You to catch what's the spirit. He said a woman should not wear what pertains to a man. In those days, they had people, and they have them today. You know, there are people that are men and are trying to be women. I hope you know that. Some of them are even doing surgeries. There are people that are women are trying to be men. They are doing surgeries for it. They are just saying, try to be who you are. Don't confuse people. Don't be a man and be dressed like a woman, or don't be a woman and be dressed like a man. They are not. They don't mean you should wear. As a matter of fact, in those days when that scripture was written, those of you that have been to anywhere in the Middle East, UAE, Dubai, anywhere in the Middle East, you know that men wear gown, something that looks like a gown. It's called jalabia. That's a gown. When they wrote that scripture, that's how men dress, gown. But today, women are the one wearing what? Gown. So how do you apply that scripture? You can't apply that scripture literally. You have to apply the spirit of the scripture. There's nowhere they say trouser is meant for a man. Where did they say? Which Bible and verse says trouser is for men? Wait, show me the Bible and verse. So how did you agree trouser is for men? How do you come about that revelation that trouser is for men? Where do you get it from? If you can show me Bible and verse, I'll agree with you. It's your tradition. It's your religion that told you trouser is for men. Who told you that? Hope you know everywhere in the world now, except in Nigeria, we're a bit slow in developing. Everywhere else in the world, most jobs that men do, women do it. Or women are in the army. Women go to Afghanistan. Oh. Women fly planes. It's only in Nigeria you see women are lagging behind because they've told them, so you keep saying the house, wash plates. And breastfeed. That's the only thing you do. Breastfeed husband and children. That's what you do. It's only Nigeria. And that's why we sit down and be arguing about trouser or no trouser. Can you join army and say you're scared, you want to wear? Can a woman not join army and say you're scared, you want to wear? How would she run? Say, let's go! Bomb! She now carry us. Talking nonsense. Except you can show me where they said in the Bible that trouser is for men. If you can show me that, what they said is that a woman should not wear what pertains, or what will make her give the idea that she's a man. They didn't say it's trouser. You are the one that interpreted trouser with your carnal mind. At the time that scripture was written, men were wearing gown, jalabia. They wear gown, they would tie belts. They had what they call a ghetto. Men will wear gown and tie belts. Today it's women that tie belts. Let me read one for you. Timothy, 2 Timothy. Now, if after you hear this message and you still say, no, me, I like to tie on my hair, I don't want to wear a ring. Good. Do that, but don't condemn or criticize somebody that is leaving a hair or wearing a ring. And it's not even compulsory you stay in this church. There's no church in the world that can serve everybody. Some churches, some people like that church where they have to pay a price for salvation. Where they must say, my shirt can't be fine. I must wear holding this shirt. I must tie in your mind, in your canalized mind. You think your old dress impresses God? You actually think God is impressed that you're suffering yourself? You are canal because you know in the mind of human beings, if you suffer, they get impressed. So you are thinking God is like that. You don't know Him. He has not you have not impressed Him. But because you didn't wear a ring, it didn't impress Him. And by the way, He's the one that made gold. Satan didn't produce gold. I'm going to show you all these things now. Let's move quickly so that we can see if we can cover it. Timothy, there's a place I read in the first service. Thank you. Now, all the scriptures, because of time, you might not turn your own Bible. Just write them down so that you can cross-check them at home. Because of time. Just look at the screen. Or if you have fast your Bible or you have a computer, you can follow us. 1 Timothy 2:9. Timothy said here, Paul said to Timothy, in like manner also, that tell women that they adorn themselves in modest what? Apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not, some people took this into mean she'll be walking, don't smile, don't laugh. He said, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Some people saw this scripture and they thought it meant, okay, we shouldn't wear gold, we shouldn't plait hair, we shouldn't do attachment. That's what they saw it as. But like I said, you must catch the spirit of the message. You must always compare scripture with other scripture. That's the way to interpret scripture. You can't pick one scripture, just one, in isolation. No, all scriptures are always confirmed by other scriptures. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is... There's no important message or doctrine that appeared only once in the Bible. That means it's not important. If it's something important, you will see it through the Bible, Old, New Testament. You will see it through the Bible, if it's important. Okay. Go to 1 Peter now. Let's look at another scripture that expanded this thing better. Start from verse 1. 1 Peter 3:1. Please look at the screen or write the scripture. Look at it. 1 Peter 3:1. It says, likewise, who? Wives, be what? In subjection to who? Your husbands. So this is talking about a wife and a husband situation. If you are going to read a scripture, it's good to start from the beginning where they started the concept of what they were going to say. Don't pick the particular verse you want to argue with. No, read the whole story. So what they are discussing here is husband and wife in the home. They said, wives, be subjection to your husband. He said that if any, that's talking about your husband, if your husband does not obey the word of God, maybe he's not a Christian or he's a carnal Christian, he doesn't like doing the Bible, he said that they also may, without the word of God, be won by what? The word conversation there means by the behavior. They're saying, as a woman, you're having challenges with your marriage. He said, submit to your husband. Even if he doesn't know the Bible enough to lead that home, let him be won over by your character. Are you getting the message of this scripture? Please, this is important to the next verses. Next one. He said, while they behold your chaste behavior, coupled with your reference, your fear for him, your reference for him, okay, not fear as in terror, your reference. Next verse. It says, whose adorning? Do you see how they came to this scripture now? He said, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. They are saying, instead of focusing on just looking beautiful on the outside, beautify your inside. That will get you more results with your husband. Many women, when they are going to church or going for a party or going somewhere, they spend 1 hour making up. And they think everybody will be happy. Your husband will be happier if you don't waste his time. He will love you more. Most men don't know that. He will love you more. He say, honey, I won't waste your time. I'll start making up early. Or I won't make up lights. Or I'll make up in the car. I don't want to waste your time. He'll be happier with you. Dan, you sit there for 1 hour. Pain like this. Pain like this. You enter the car, you say, idiot. See, I don't waste my time. They were comparing something. They're saying, let your inward build your inside. It's better than building your outside. They didn't say, don't build your outside. If you notice in this scripture, they said the plating of hair, the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. Are they saying you should walk naked? Because they mention wearing cloth here. If you say we should not wear gold, they also mention not to wear cloth. What they mean is that you can't focus on the outward to compensate for the lack of the inward. Build your character. That will help you get more respect from your husband. Your husband will respect you more if you speak to him humbly than that you make up well. Is somebody getting this? See the next verse. I will still explain. Because here, you know, they mentioned gold in that place. That's where some good God that was not where you're hearing from. He said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Do you see this? In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, who is of great price for the Lord. Look at verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to who? Do you notice that the theme of these chapters is talking about marriage? Hope you see it. It has nothing to do with gold. It's saying husbands. Talk about how to win your husband's heart by good behavior. The emphasis is not on the gold or the dress. Now, see what they said. They said the old women. See, after this manner, the old women also. They may talk about the women of old. See the next verse. See the next verse. Even as Sarah obeyed, talking about how you relate to your husband, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. He said, whose daughters you are? As long as you do well, I'm not afraid. Now, they talk about the women of old, and they use Sarah as an example. How many of you know Sarah used to wear gold earrings and bracelets? I'll show you. So, if it was about gold, they wouldn't use Sarah because Sarah too was wearing gold. The problem is not gold. They're saying your outward beauty is not what will get you the results. That apart from your outward beauty, make sure you build your character. They say Sarah called her husband Lord. If you respect your husband, you'll get more results than having a long hair, than having a Peruvian or Brazilian. If women can spend half of the time, they spend making up and shopping. And you know, most women don't make their hair. The one that is fast, it's about 3 hours. That means it happened fast. And how many minutes do you pray in a day? That's what they are saying. They are saying if you can spend some time studying the word of God, even if your hair is not very long, your husband will say, like, he will trip for you. Is somebody getting this? So they mention Sarah and they mention gold. Sarah was wearing gold, so gold can't be wrong. How do I know Sarah was wearing gold? Genesis 24. DJ, you know the scripture, so let's just move quickly. Verse 1. Abraham told his servant, go and look for a wife for Isaac. He told his chief servant in verse 10 or so, they said the servant was in control of all Abraham's property. Look at it. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city to look for the wife. He now found the woman. The woman gave him water to drink. Go to the verse we're going to read next. DJ, you know the verse now. Quick. Verse 12. He said, oh Lord of my master Abraham, I pray thee. No. Go to where after he drank the water and his camels drank the water. This is DJ. Are you with us? Okay, yes, see verse 22. He said, and it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, the man took what? Now, this Isaac's wife they were looking for, Abraham's son. This is the servant of Abraham. He said, the man took what? A golden earring of a half shekel of weight and two what? Bracelets for her hand. Isaac was not married. The only woman in that house at that time was Sarah. So if they say the servant took earring and took bracelets, guess whose bracelet and earring it was? If that's what he gave, obviously it's not a crime where they are coming from. And Sarah was the example they used in 1 Peter 3. So gold is not the problem. Earring doesn't take anybody to hell. It was God that made gold. It's an insult to be telling God that Satan is the one that made gold. God said, me? Let me make this thing. He said, Satan. How do I know? Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at it. Bible explains itself. Don't need anybody to go to heaven to tell you a story. Bible is there. Look at it. And when God created the heavens and the earth, now DJ, I need somebody that knows what we read in first service because of time. He said, and this is where God, the Garden of Eden. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into how many heads? Four heads. The river went to four places. Next verse, quickly. He said, the name of the first is Pison. That is which compassed the whole land of Havilah. Where what? This when the man was in paradise. God said there's gold. Now, see, I like this verse. Annoying to the people that don't have like gold. See it? He said, and the gold of that land is what? Now, somebody now goes to see vision and say gold is not good. This God that made gold. And say God himself said the gold is good. You say it's not good. I listen to God. I don't listen to you. It's men. It's tradition. How does gold stop you from entering heaven? You think God created all these things of the earth for us to enjoy? He said, I've given you all things really to enjoy. Those are not things that are interested in. What he wants is to accept the forgiveness of Jesus. Some book quotes me the Bible. There are so many things to read. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. This one you can turn there. 1 John before Revelation. It's not sin that takes people to hell, guys. It's not accepting Jesus that takes people to hell. The Bible says, for God so loved who? I can't hear you. For God so loved who? People in the world, do they wear earring or not? I can't hear you. Do they wear earring or not? Do they wear mini skirts or not? That's who God says loves. And in many people's fractured mind, what they are saying is that God loves us when we're sinners. But now that we're his children, he's going to deal with us. I mean, what kind of a... How do you arrive at that? Those thoughts? Do you know... I mean, some of you are not coming sin, so don't understand how I talk. People like me, they vex me because I know where I was coming from, my brother. If there was anything called sin, I was a committed member. It's crazy when you tell me those things. I was carrying pistol from secondary school, not university. Secondary. I had planned to die in university. What did they talk? Who did they go read book for university? What are you going to do? My essence of going to university was purely cult activities. Purely. That was my soul. Read book. From secondary school, I stopped attending lectures. I was carrying a pistol from secondary school. The issue wasn't whether I was going to join cults in university. It was which cult we go join. We go use our potential. So we're drinking with different dons of different cults to know the one that has ginger. Nobody say, I'll call enter and I'll call the time and say, hey, we'll not go fight. We'll go, no. So me and my friend, I have one bad friend. So we're always talking about which one go fits, help us out, you know. I was kind of pissed from secondary school, so you can't ask me if I carry a gun in university. Of course. I had planned I'll plait my hair all back, put one stud for my left ear, ride my power bike, fully armed. At any time, can kill anybody and be killed. That was my dream. We're carrying prostitutes from... I had friends that could take... One of my... To show you how bad we're in prostitution. Prostitution, not that we're the prostitutes, we're the... No, I need to help you understand. We're so bad in going to brothels that I had a friend that... And this secondary school. I'm talking about university. This secondary school. I had a friend that told boys, where many of us just in dormitory, he said, if anybody want to go prostitute hotel now, look, we go. It didn't count. It just all of us pack ourselves. Eh? He had no money. But to show his influence in the prostitute hotel, he got there and told us, any woman you want, sleep with her and tell on my bill. Do you understand this? He didn't have to go and tell them it's me. He just said, mention my name. We were many. And we stayed there for hours. All on his bill. So I'm these secondary school boys. I'm telling you where I'm coming from. I had a thief, that time. Confirmed thief. I can give you a story. So for you to come and tell me that the God that could forgive me then is now, because I did one mistake, he's not forgiving me again, then you need to have your head examined. You know nothing about the Bible. Sin doesn't take anybody to hell. It is not accepting the finished work of Jesus that takes people to hell. Anybody that will go to hell is not because they committed sin, because there's no sin an unbeliever is committing that there are not people here right now are committing it. Any sin they are committing in the world, there is somebody right here in this church, probably born again, probably even a worker, that is committing that same sin. But you're not the same. Those guys are strangers to the house. You're a child of the house. They are different. Because there's a scripture that says in Revelation 22, now, most people quote that scripture, that the Bible says all liars go to hell. You've seen that scripture, heard about it. So most people think, oh, it means that if you lie, you go to hell. They're not talking about you. DJ, show that scripture. Let's just see it before we come to 1 John. It will help you. Revelation 22 also. Because some people think, oh, all liars will go to hell. Not you. You see the person they're referring to there. Okay. Go to the verse before it. Go to verse 7. Please look at this closely. Revelation 21 verse 7. It says, Revelation is talking about things that happen after this earth, mostly, all right? It said, he that overcometh shall do what? This is the category they are talking about you. This is you. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be what? This is you. The Bible calls us overcomers. The Bible says we overcame him by what? By the blood. The blood is what qualifies you. That's how we overcame. This is you. See the next verse now. They're not talking about the people that don't know God. They are not talking about the Christian that has light. They're talking about people that don't know God. They said, but the fearful and what? Unbelievers. He said, and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and liars. If all liars go to hell, man, most of you here are going to go. If you say I'm coming by 8 and you come 8:10, that's a lie. There are times you've even told a lie and you don't even know it's a lie. There are times you've reported a story that wasn't true. Have you ever reported a story that wasn't true before? You didn't even know it wasn't true. Somebody told you. And you said, I confirmed source. And you two passed the story. And you found out it wasn't true. Have you done it before? So you admit you go to hell? You will not. There's a difference. How many of you have ever stolen money from your... Let me tell you more. If you have stolen meat or plantain, fried plantain, your mom go kitchen or go somewhere, go outside. You run, go take one. Even when it's hot, you take it, they burn you. If you ever stolen, let me see your hand like that. You stolen your father's house. Good. How many of you have ever stolen money from your parents, either from their wallet or their drawer? Let me explain to you. Hold on. If a stranger jumps your fence, enters that same wardrobe and steals money, they can burn him there. If you steal the same money, will they burn you? It's the same act, but one is a stranger to the covenant. That's what we read. But one is of the household. That's the difference. One has been redeemed. What it means by redeemed is that they have already paid. They know you will commit sin. They have paid for it. One is redeemed. The other one is not redeemed. So the reason why he's going to go to hell is, look, there are some people that don't know God, but their character is better than many Christians. But you see, their morality and their character, their good character, cannot. See, it's not of your works. Your works can't save you. Because even though your good character in the eyes of God is not good enough. It's not good enough. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should not live right. Of course, God expects that if you get born again, you will start to grow. He wants you to grow. Now you even need to understand what sin is. If you know what sin is, then you understand that sin can't separate you from God. Sin is something that destroys you. Sin is not something that offends God. It's not about God. Sin is not about God. That's why sin can't separate you from God. Because sin is not about God. The Bible even says that he that fornicates commits sin against his own body. He said, when you fornicate, you are joining to a harlot. All these things have nothing to do with God. The only reason why God is angry when you sin is because you are destroying yourself. If your child, 1 year old or 2 year old, run and wants to cross the road, and it's a high traffic road, you can catch him and beat his bum bum. Are you beating him because when he runs, car will hit you? You are beating him because when he runs, car will hit who? Him. If your child doesn't go to school, you'll be angry. Not because if he doesn't go to school, you as an adult, you will fail your exam. No. It's because when he doesn't go, he will have a consequence you know he won't like. Hope you understand it. So when you're talking about sin, it's not something you do that will make God so angry. No, no. It was sin that made him kill his son in the first place. So he's not angry because you're committing sin. He's out of love because he knows sin can destroy you. God can never get STD. God can't get HIV. God can't get AIDS. God can't get pregnant. At least not unwanted one. God can't have a bad reputation. God cannot be arrested. All the consequences of sin, none can affect God. It's only you they can affect. So God is trying to protect you. So sin is not something separating you from God. It's just something God is trying to help you overcome for your good. When you understand that God is for me, you understand? God is not against me. Even right there, if you're in a prostitute hotel, God is still with you. God is still in you. God is still for you. He's looking for a way to get you out. But many people think, I'm in a prostitute hotel. God is trying to kill me. They even cross the road more slowly that day. Say, hey, because God, if you just bring car to kill me. No, he is for you. He's trying to say, no, my son, you are better than this. I still love you. You can't sin enough to make me hate you. The wall of partition has been removed. No sin is big enough. He has dealt with sin by the blood of Jesus. No sin is big enough. Sin just destroys you. That's the only bad thing about it. You can be born again and be lying. You will still go to heaven. Just that you have a bad reputation here. Nobody will believe anything you say. The sin don't come. It's you. It will affect you. And the day you are now saying something important, something real, nobody is going to what? Believe you. And after a while, you will stop believing God. Because you're a liar. You don't take words seriously. If you don't take words seriously, how are you going to believe God? Because God is all about words. Somebody getting this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Let me read one scripture, then we'll just close. God so loved the world. It was seen as he loved. Look, God loves that prostitute. He doesn't love you more than the prostitute. You know, some people here think, oh, you know, God loves us. No. He doesn't love you more than the prostitute. The difference is that you have accepted God's love. The prostitute maybe has not. What did Jesus tell that woman that was caught in adultery? He told the woman, where are your accusers? It's men that accuse people. Say, where are your accusers? The woman said, they've gone. Jesus Christ said, neither do I condemn you. He said, I'm not condemning you. He said, go and sin no more. Sin would have killed you today. That's what he's telling her. That they nearly kill you now. Sin go kill you. But Jesus had no sin. Hope you know that. He would have stoned her now if he was here to condemn. He said, you don't go commit adultery again. I know be your first time, but you stand here. He didn't do that. He said, neither do I condemn you. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. If he didn't condemn then, he's not condemning you today. There is a judgment waiting for anybody that doesn't accept Christ. Don't get me wrong. If you are here today, listen to me, and you're not born again, you will be judged. Not because of the small sins you are committing, because there are people here committing more sins than you probably. It's just because you are not a member of the household. That's why. When rain was going to fall on the earth and destroy all the place, the instruction to be saved was simple. Come inside the boat. They didn't say, all good people come. All tall people come. No, they say, come inside. And you know, many people didn't come. That is the same thing we're saying today. Come into Christ. Every day we announce, if you want to come into Christ, come. So we're doing the same thing Noah was doing. Calling people into Christ. Some people will not come. They will just not come. And when the judgment day comes, they will be caught outside. But if you're in the house, arrest. Of course, live well because sin will destroy you. But sin can't separate you from what Jesus has done. Let me read one scripture. 1 John 1:9. I had many things to read, but I won't be able to read it because of time. I'll just read this one and we'll close. I'll start from verse 8. Okay, from verse 7. 1 John 1:7. It said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of who? I can't hear you. The what? The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, look at this. See, if we say that we have no sin, because the person telling me he has seen somebody with a ring, he too, his person too has sin. That means none of us will go. See, if you have no sin, if you say you have no sin, where are we? Verse 8. If you say you have no sin, say we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Say, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Look at now. Hope you know the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. Okay? The Bible is a condition of letters, not written in chapter and verse. So if it's John, the whole John was written straight. It was interpreters that put it in chapter and verse so that we can find what we're looking for. Hope we know that. If you don't know that now. So see chapter 2 is a continuation. They're still talking about the same thing. It's not really a different chapter. It's the same story. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you do what? You sin not. We're not saying you should go and sin. No, don't sin. Don't sin. But, he said, and if any man sin, in case you sin. Do you see what they're saying? They're saying, my son, don't go and sin. No. But they say, if you sin, don't be separated from God. You have what? An advocate. This is important. He said, you can't tell me somebody that has an attachment is in hellfire. What are you talking about? Where is his advocate when he went there? Say, we have an advocate. That's assuming even here is bad. He said, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate is somebody standing for you, talking for you. So even when they come and they accuse you, and maybe you even did what they say you did, the advocate will say, I represent this person. This is my client. You cannot hold him down. Look at this. It says in verse 2, and he is the advocate we have. He is also our what? Propitiation. That means he's our payment. Jesus is our advocate. He is also our ransom. So you know what happens when your lawyer has also paid for the crime you committed? The judge will say only one thing. This person is what? Discharged and acquitted. God is with you. God is for you. Now, let me finish verse 2. It will annoy you now. Verse 2 is interesting. He said, and he is the propitiation for our sins. It didn't stop there. And not for our sins only. But for what? For the sins of the whole world. Anybody going to hell now is just going there because either he doesn't know that they've paid the price or he didn't just accept it. He said he has paid the ransom, not fully for us that are here. Even for those who are outside, he has been paid for. Some of them will never enter it. That's why they will go to hell. If they decide to enter it, even if it's last minute, they are good and safe. Let's bow our heads. If you are here today and you are not sure of where you will go, well, today is a good day to accept the forgiveness of Jesus. That's all you need to do. That's all. He will teach you. He will help you as you go on to drop all the bad habits, to drop the bad friends. He can help you as you go on. But the first thing he needs you to do is to even agree that you are not good enough and that his work, his blood can save you. All heads are bowed. If you are here under the sound of my voice and you are not born again, you have never accepted Jesus, or you are not even sure where you will go if you die, today is a good day. You can raise your right hand if you are in any of these categories I mentioned. Raise your right hand. Let me pray with you. You want to be honest enough, say, Pastor, pray with me. I don't have Jesus in my life. I've not accepted the forgiveness of Jesus. Raise your hand. It's free of charge. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to qualify. Just raise your hand. That's all. We're going to pray together. You're going to accept the forgiveness of Jesus. That's all. He has already paid the price. There's no need for you to pay again. Why do you want to go to hell when he has paid? Somebody has paid. It's free of charge. Just accept. He needs you to accept. He needs you to accept. Just raise your right hand. You want to be honest enough to say, Pastor, pray with me. I am not born again. Or I want to accept Jesus. Or I was born again before, but I've lost my relationship. I've lost my peace with God. Raise your right hand. Let me pray with you. Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. If your hand is raised up, please carry your Bible, carry your bag and come. Come to the front. Let me pray with you. If your hand is raised up, come. Come, let me pray with you. Just march forward boldly. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you today. Come, come boldly. Come boldly. Don't be ashamed. Just come. I'm still waiting. You can still come and join us. You know that you've not received the forgiveness. Come. Lord, I give myself away. Come, I'm waiting for you. If you know you have to come forward, please come. God bless you. Please come. It's free of charge. I received this forgiveness many years ago. I was as bad as they come. You received the forgiveness. Please put your hand on your chest wherever you are. Those of you in front. Say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. I accept your son Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for I am born again in Jesus. Mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. Welcome to the kingdom of God. God bless you. Please see this lady by your right hand side. Just follow her. Just follow the lady by your right. Go with her. Just follow her. Come on, church. Let's appreciate God for them. Let's appreciate.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411. Or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.